Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're just going to begin reading at verse 32. And so, yeah, as you get there, would you stand with me? And if you don't have your Bible, you can maybe follow along on the screen or something with us if you'd like. From the New American Standard Version, Hebrews 10, verse 32. But remember the former days when after being enlightened, or in other words, after you got saved, and some of your translations will read something like that, after you found the Lord, whatever it is, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And then he quotes Habakkuk here, chapter 2. He says, for yet in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you to illuminate this word, bring it to life in us. Make it breathe and beat within us, God, changing us from the inside out. We love you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We can have a seat this morning. Usually, I feel like messages on faith start with 11 verse 1, a good working definition of faith. And to be honest with you, I'm actually really excited because we are on the cusp of a new series. I know. And it's, right? I'm so excited. You guys know I love these series. Actually, I did not always love them, but when the Lord starts speaking to you about something and it starts to make sense. And so we're going to spend the next handful of weeks, maybe more, coming into the new year on the heroes of the faith in chapter 11, going through their stories, little mini biographies of each of the folks that are listed in this letter and why they were giants in the faith, why they were heroes in the faith, why they have gone before us and set an example that we need to follow. But I believe before we can get to that, we need a prologue. We need an introduction. We need a context. A context that gives birth to such great faith. And because a lot of times we take faith out of context. Fair? We take faith out of context, especially I think in our prayer life. We take faith out of context a lot. So a series is coming on heroes in the faith, but this prologue to the archive of these giants, it exists on purpose. And it's so we don't understand just the definition of faith, but again, what produces it in us. And that context, as we just read, that context, unfortunately, is hardship. Hardship. Ugh. I love what Brian Simmons writes about this and the way that he translates this letter in the Passion Translation. I know some of us in the room, we have kind of mixed feelings about the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation has mixed feelings about you too and your theology. But I'm not going to tell anybody, go make this your number one Bible, but I love to reference it because I believe that we do see an element of the emotion behind the heart that wrote these, that inspired this. We see the emotion of God in it, and that's as much a part of God as anything else. Amen? What he writes in verse 32, the way he translates that, we just read it, but remember the former days when after being saved, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, a great conflict of sufferings. Brian Simmons translates it as a great marathon season of suffering hardships. Anybody been there? You ever felt like that? A great marathon season. Now, following this, we can start to get a little distracted by some of the, 2,000-year-old Middle Eastern context of what hardship looked like. It looked very different for the early church. They were being persecuted. They were, as he said, you joyfully accepted having your possessions seized. You know, here in America, we don't understand hardship the same way. And even some of that, I think we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, and just how jarring it is to try and understand another culture through ours. But the point for today is that hardship is hardship. And what makes it hardship is that it's hard for you. So whether that is, the Roman government coming in and seizing all of your stuff or dragging you out in the street or throwing you in prison, or if that's what you're dealing with right now, whatever it is, what you've had to deal with this last season, what the waters you're still navigating through, the unknowns, the difficult things, the decisions that you're trying to make and that you feel like there's a lot of different variables that specifically make those things very hard. The context for faith is hardship. This is one thing that our advocate and our adversary have in common. They both find great value in our hardships. Unfortunately, we do not share that sentiment. Most of the time, we don't. Unless you've got a lot of heavenly wisdom and you're looking back. And I think sometimes in the rearview mirror, I know for myself, I look back on seasons, and the most difficult seasons were the greatest thresholds into the highest concentration of glory in my life. And so don't miss that. Don't write this off. Don't roll your eyes. Don't sigh and say, woe is me. Understand that while, yes, the enemy is trying to do something in the midst of your hardship, the Father is trying to do something too. And he always gets what he wants. In the context of the storm, we will determine if our faith will be either strengthened or destroyed. See, the enemy wants to use hardship to destroy our faith. He wants it to erode the foundations of our faith. He wants us to come through hardships questioning whether or not there is a God. And too many believers who are not really well grounded in who God is and what his promises have been to us. Too many believers, and I'm resisting the urge to use air quotes around believers, so just appreciate that this morning. But too many believers, they hear a sad story or they watch a hard news segment, and little by little, their faith is being eroded away. It's exactly what the enemy wants. That's why there's so much of it. That's why there's like this fire hose of bad news. Because there's an intentionality behind it to work away faith, to whittle away faith in the lives of the people of God. However, the Father looks at that same hardship and says, I can do something with that. Why? Because we have his promise that everything the enemy means for evil, he can turn it for good. Well, what does good look like? Good doesn't look like you win the lottery after every bankruptcy. Good, or after every bounced check, or after every, time you get fired from a job. Good looks like the Lord is building faith in you that your provision is not your job, but your provider. This is so funny. So let's keep reading. So if you jump down to verse 36, so he goes through these things, and again, context is important, and you can fill in the blanks there with all of your hardships, whatever that is. Maybe finances, it doesn't like matter to you. Maybe you're like, no, finances are good. I'm set with finances. Okay, then there's some other hardship in your life that there just is. It's by design. And if you're like not in the middle of one, you're getting ready to go into one, or you just came out of one. Isn't that what people say? What's that? That's what Ron says. You coined that phrase. You're either in one, or you just came out of one, or you're going into one, or more likely all three. But either way, It's about recognizing, and like the writers of Hebrews say, you know, it's about going into this with joy. Why? Not because you're excited to get beat up, but because you're excited about what God's doing in the midst of that. So, verse 36, one more time. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you need the strength of endurance to do God's will. And actually, Dr. Simmons, he reveals this, like he writes it like this, and I love it. You need the strength of endurance to reveal the poetry of God's will. You know why? Because the word to do, it's poemas. It's the same word that we use for poetry, to do. And I love this. I love how the Father writes in this way, because the very letter itself is manifesting the fruit of this, the fruit of hardship. So you need the strength, because if you don't have the strength of endurance, even if you stumble into God's will, you're not gonna realize it. You're not gonna see it. And you don't recognize that his promises are being fulfilled in your life. Have you ever sat down with somebody and told them like your sad story, and they're looking at you and they're like, eyes are bright and they're excited. They're on the edge of their seat. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And you're like, no, it's awful. Do you have friends like that? You need a friend like that. Come and be my friend if you don't have a friend like that, because I specialize in, you know, capitalizing on the misfortune of others. I'm just kidding. That's not true. But it does come down to having somebody who's able to see with the eyes of heaven your hardship. It requires somebody who's able to see, yeah, but look what God did in the midst of that. You're still here, aren't you? And look what's intact, and look where you are now. And sometimes it's just a totally different spin on the exact same story. But it changes us, and we need to be changed. All right, so in 10, sorry, I'm jumping back and forth between Bibles here. You're not really supposed to do that. But he's quoting the prophet Habakkuk. He says, my righteous ones will live from my faith. Some of your Bibles say they will live by faith. But if fear holds them back, then my soul is not content with them. My righteous ones will live by faith, but if fear holds them back, because what does fear hold us back from? It holds us back from faith. Everybody has these t-shirts now. It says faith over fear. And I love that. I think I had one. I gave it to somebody. I think I gave it to Lily, didn't I? Yeah. Faith over fear. It's this cool concept, and I think even the world likes the idea of it just because it sounds positive and encouraging, motivational. But if we read this in this context, both are present. My righteous ones will live by faith, but if fear holds them back, my soul is not content with them. My righteous ones will live by faith. My righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back. I like that in ASB, because that phrase, it doesn't mean to back down because of fear. It means to cower in fear. Because the walk of faith leads us to glory. The walk of faith leads us to the well of provision, the supply. The walk of faith leads us to understanding promise. Ultimately, for heaven to come through us on the earth. But fear holds us back from that well, and honestly, we end up dying. We end up dying. Faith is what draws us to the well of sustenance. Fear is what causes us to cower back from it. Without faith, it's not only impossible to please God, as we'll find out in this sermon series, because it's coming up in the next chapter, and yes, it does say that in the Bible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But not only is it impossible to please God, it's actually impossible to keep your salvation intact. Well, once I'm saved, well, what are you saved by? Faith. Are we not saved by faith? So if we're not saved by faith, we are saved by faith. So if that faith is what brings in salvation and what maintains that salvation, when our faith is robbed from us, when we sacrifice our faith in the face of fear, What does our salvation start to look like? It looks like something in the past. It looks like something we let go of. It looks like something we're not maintaining anymore. And honestly, isn't really doing us a lot of good. I'm not gonna stand up here and argue with you whether or not you go to heaven, because that is not even the point. The point is whether or not heaven can come through you. And if your salvation is not intact, then where are you gonna go with it? Where's heaven gonna go with you? And then he gets to this definition. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. That's just the one I learned a long time ago. It's not NASB or anything else here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance, it comes from this Greek word, hypostasis. And that word, it means the proof that something actually exists, the reality of a thing, the tangibility of a thing. So we know coming into our walk with the Lord that it's gonna deal with things that we cannot see. And when you gave your heart to the Lord, that was part of the agreement. I'm not giving my heart to a God that I can see or that I can get a hold of, that I can buy or sell or taste or touch or feel right now. So there's this element of faith, but the faith itself is what creates the tangibility around that God. Why? Because faith is a manifestation in us. It's the turning of something that cannot be seen into something that can be seen. Not external of us, but within us. We all want the external thing, right? We all want to pray by faith and see a miracle. This external thing, we want to see a mountain actually be moved. We want to see cancer actually disappear. We want to see, you know, finances literally fall from heaven. We want to see the incredible miracle. And yet, there is a greater faith. And it's a faith that does not manifest externally from us, but internally within us. A faith that does not change a circumstance for a man, but changes a man in the midst of a circumstance. That's the kind of faith that we're being called to. That's the kind of faith that 2026 is going to require from us, saints. At least I pray that it does. I know I've referenced this a couple of times, but on Easter Sunday of 2019, we were out in that parking lot getting rained on. In fact, that's the picture in the lobby if you're kind of just joining us and you came through the front doors. That giant mural on the wall there is a picture of our church outside on that Easter Sunday. And, you know, it was first world problems, okay? Because our sound system was working. As long as the sound system's working, I can consider it first world problems. But it was first world problems, but we had come into this building and we had, in 48 hours, completely overhauled this building. We didn't do any construction, but we painted and we cleaned and we decluttered, and Macy's had left a lot of glass cases and clothing racks and whatever wasn't auctioned off, it was just left in here. And so there were cleaning crews and painting crews and set up people and folks loading up pallets in tractor trailers in Seekonk and unloading stuff here. And it was incredible. But at the same time, the town was not feeling like this was what was supposed to happen to their mall. And so they issued a cease and desist order. And what that meant was we could either do one of two things. We could, you know, rebel and meet in here anyway, which is exactly what I said we should do. And then we had all the rest of our elders who said, let's accept this joyfully. Let's have this taken from us joyfully and watch what God will do with it. I was fine with 1 week. But then the second week, then the third week of us being out there. And by the third week out there, we were sent a letter from the new owners, or from the old owners of the mall, saying that it had sold to new owners and that we had a 90-day eviction notice. And I'm like, we haven't even actually had a service inside yet. And we signed a 1-year contract. And in the midst of all of that hardship, and it was hardship because we were like a homeless church, you know? They thought we had a home, and then they were just playing with our emotions, and then we're outside, and then we thought we were inside, and, you know, Then we're outside getting rained on, and you know, people are like watching the storm tracker, and it's like, oh, it looks like it's gonna miss us. Like it's gonna be this open heaven right over the church parking lot, and there's storm clouds all the way around. And we're all looking at the radar saying, we're not gonna get rained on today, and we just got dumped on. Joyfully dumped on. But I stood on those steps that Easter Sunday and said that what was coming next for our church was going to require a greater faith than any of us have walked in. Because there's going to be parts of this that seem mundane, that we have to have faith to believe that God's doing something greater than what we're seeing. There are parts of this that are going to feel uneventful, anticlimactic, like somebody else got the miracle you were praying for. And yet, how great a faith is needed to walk through those seasons and know that God is still working in us, in you. And we stood on that, and I feel like in the last maybe 6 months or so, the Lord's brought me back to that scene, not to say that along the way we haven't needed great faith. We needed great faith. We needed great faith. How are we going to manage this? How are we going to figure this out? How are we going to afford what was this Macy's, 99,814 square feet that was, should have been commercial retail here on the low side, about $1 a square foot, which means about $100,000 a month to rent this place. How are we going to do that? How are we going to pull that off? Well, we're not going to pull that off because the Lord went in and said, no, they're going to pay $8,000 a month for rent. And so that's what we paid, $8,000 a month for rent. See, in great faith, we want to see the $100,000 a month come in to pay what we should be paying. But the Lord says, no, I have a different bill for you. I have a different bill for you. And I think that sometimes faith, it comes with this expectation that when we walk in faith, God's gonna do what we want him to do. But faith should be changing us. This list of characters that we're gonna jump into over the next handful of weeks, 2 months maybe, I don't know, it depends, we'll see what happens. But this list of characters, these are not the ones, this faith is not because they had such great faith that they saw crazy miracles. It's not that. It's they had such great faith because God said to do something and they just did it, no matter what it cost them. It's a different kind of faith. American faith, it orbits around the miracles and signs and wonders. The Lord told me several months ago to start to study Catherine Kuhlman, which is weird because I didn't really have anything. I didn't really know anything about her or have anything, you know, just in Bible school in passing. And so Ashley bought me a couple of biographies online, and it's funny because the first one I read was written by somebody who like borderline worshiped Catherine Kuhlman. And you can't really get a clear story, even when it's a closed account from somebody that like, you know, venerates somebody too much. It's like you're not really getting it. You're not even getting what Catherine Kuhlman really wanted. But now this next one I'm reading, I almost finished that one. I got to like the last little bit and I was like, no. I read books like I watch Netflix series. I'm just kind of like, I'm gonna leave the rest a mystery and not get to the end of it. But the next one I read, I was thinking I was gonna save it. I was thinking it was better because Bill Johnson wrote the foreword, and I'm reading his writing about her and the author, and I'm realizing this is faith. When our story includes the worst of us, when our story includes the valleys, this is faith. And what Catherine Kuhlman, the legacy that she left behind, was not countless people who stood up out of wheelchairs or countless people who were healed of cancer. The legacy that she left behind was that a woman who was 100 entirely dependent on God, that God used her because of it. The Holy Spirit used her because of it. And there's a lot more to learn there. But the reason I bring it up is because I want us to come back to this idea, this question of how faith is manifesting in us. How is your faith? Because we throw around this idea of faith. We're people of faith, right? Well, by faith we're saved, you know? Faith this, faith over fear that, faith on bumper stickers, faith on t-shirts. But faith should be manifesting something in us. It should be producing something in us. We should be taking greater risks in the Lord than we were last year because of faith. We should be sacrificing more. We should be pouring more out. Whatever we used to be able to reach, we should be looking down on the places that we could touch on our tiptoes by faith. He's calling us higher, and we're only getting higher by faith. Even when people's stories are like, yeah, God did this, I didn't do anything. No, you did do something. You had faith. Because that's what the Word of God tells us, that we only arrive at these places by faith. And so this definition, this working definition that we're ending on, it's the assurance of things hoped for, right? The assurance of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. I like how the NASB writes, the conviction. The conviction of things unseen. It means that I don't have to see it. In fact, sometimes I have to see the opposite of it in order for faith to be real. I can't just see the absence of it. I need to see the absolute antithesis of it. And then if I keep walking, like somehow the report's getting worse, but I keep walking, that's faith. The prayer for my circumstance to change isn't changing my circumstance, but I keep walking. Now what's changing? I'm changing. Now what's happening? I'm growing. Now what's happening is the world is getting what the world needs us to be, the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Because we're no longer walking by the mindsets and the things, the proof of this world. We are becoming the proof of heaven. Amen? Would you stand with me? I've never been one to like prophesy hardships. I don't think the Word of God tells us to do that. I know, you know, there's like a whole ministry of doom and gloom prophets that feel like it's their anointing to tell us about every horrible thing that's ever going to happen. And I appreciate that. But I want to prophesy heaven. There's going to be tension and there's going to be chafing. And anytime heaven comes to any place it hasn't been, it's going to be hard. But I do want to prophesy over our church. I want to speak over our church that in the hardships to come, that we become a people of increasingly great faith. And that is us as a church as a whole. We've seen it in us as a church as a whole. But many of us, like maybe a third in this room, you weren't out there in the parking lot 6 years ago. Maybe a third in this room, you weren't with us back when the church first started out of great hardship. Many, many tears and sleepless nights for our leaders. Many, many like questions and prayer meetings and getting on our faces to ask the Lord what was next. And so a great faith was produced in us. Just like the apostles who go through all the crazy stuff with Jesus, but now thousands of people are being added to the church who really didn't have anything to do with the story of Jesus as it played out on the earth. They weren't present for the gospel. They weren't some static character in the background watching it happen. They're coming in from out of town and saying, I need to move here and be a part of this. That takes faith, but that faith has to grow. And for those of you who are joining us, maybe this is your first Sunday, or maybe you're kind of still sort of like fringy here. You kind of sit in the balcony area, which that doesn't define, I see that hand. You're not fringy, Hallie. You're in it. You just like that spot. Okay, I take back what I said. I'm actually looking around and it's actually a lot of like, you know, workers. You're out working somewhere else in the building and then you just get in too late to get a seat. But the point is this, if you're in the room and you're kind of wanting to hang on to this gray area, What I want to challenge you with is get in a place where your faith can grow. If this church is too big for your faith to grow here, find a smaller church and let the Lord stretch you. If you don't feel like you can, you're known enough here, number one, you should be going to a greenhouse, okay? That's why we have greenhouses, all right? Yeah, it's another sermon for another day. But the point, the thing that we've got to take home with us is that our faith needs to be challenged and stretched. We need to be pulled on. We need to be, yes, taking those leaps, but also just taking those steps, baby steps, big steps. And I'm gonna encourage you to ask the Lord, make this your prayer, because this is a prayer God will always answer. God, stretch my faith in 2026. Stretch my faith in 2026. May I leave next year with an exponentially greater faith than I had going into it. That doesn't mean you're gonna get more hardships than you were gonna get. What am I welcoming into my life? What kind of like burdens? No, those burdens are gonna come. That hardship is gonna come. The problem is when we get through them by the skin of our teeth and our faith has nothing to show for it. What if every one of those things, what if every time there was any antagonistic force working against us, that the muscles of our faith were producing supernatural transformation within us? That's the body of Christ. That is substance. I don't believe in a church without substance. I don't think there's such a thing as a church without faith. And I don't want to just preach to the remnant in the room. I believe that this is the day, this is the hour that the sons and daughters of God rise up in their faith. I believe that this is the moment. If you've been waiting for the moment, this is it. And I believe that God can do something so great, He can point back to hardships in your past that you didn't capitalize on or wring out all the juice that was in it. And He can say, you left some behind. Let's go back and get it. Hey, remember when you went through that thing? Remember when you lost that person? Remember when your marriage crapped the bed? Remember when you were fired from that job and went bankrupt and lost your house and all this other stuff and you kind of just limped through it and hoped it doesn't happen again? Yeah. Hear the word, hear the heart of the Father this morning. I can use that. Amen. I can do something with that. I can redeem that. Well, how are you going to redeem that, Lord? Are you going to give me all that stuff back? No, I'm going to give you something greater. I'm going to give you faith that moves mountains. If you're in the room this morning, here's what I want this first round to be. If you're in the room this morning and you have gone through or are in the middle of great hardship and you don't know what to do with it, maybe you're done even asking for something to change because you're tired. I believe the Lord's going to give you endurance this morning. If you're in the room and you feel exhausted, like not just spiritual fatigue, but just all around fatigue because of hardship, whatever it is, maybe it's in your body. You don't know why God hasn't healed you yet, but you're tired of asking. Whatever it is, you're not sure where to go with that hardship. If that's you, would you step out of your seat and meet me down here this morning? Zach, do I need to pray for endurance now? Because it just kind of feels like I'm kind of done running this race. Here's why you need to pray for endurance. Because Hebrews just told us that because of endurance, you will know it when the promises of God are made manifest in your life. if you're just going to scrape by, if you're just going to get drugged through this thing, and you're not going to come out strong, you're not going to come through it as a victor, you're going to come through it as a victor. Listen, endurance is the difference. If you come out with your head held high, saying, my God is the one that carried me through this. I didn't think I was going to make it, but my God had grace on me. I believe there's endurance for you. I believe that sometimes the Lord's just waiting to pour that thing out. Endurance to come through another season, another marathon season of suffering hardships. What? Zach, I thought you weren't prophesying. I'm not. I'm saying stuff's going to come because you're human. Nobody picked you out and said, let's make your life living hell. Even though you feel like that, and that's exactly what the enemy wants you to believe. Hey, let's make sure you can't have kids while all your friends are having babies. Hey, let's make sure that you can't get the relationship piece right while all your friends are happily married, or at least it looks like it on their Instagram highlight reel. Hey, let's make sure that, you know, you can't keep a job when everybody else is you know, going on vacations. Man, the enemy plays games with our head when we're not walking by that faith, when we're not living by that faith. The best thing about faith, the best thing about a strengthened faith, is that it blinds us to all the nonsense. Our faith expands and fills our field of vision. And we actually can no longer see the thing that was trying to undermine it. The Lord wants to take that out of our perspective. And whatever it is that you feel like is working against you, no, it's working for you because your faith is increasing. Jesus taught us well, didn't he? A man of many sorrows, acquainted with our suffering. It wasn't just the day he died, as I've preached, I don't know how many times, it was the million deaths up to that day. Why? Because the faith that was needed in that man to fulfill the destiny that was on him was greater than any of us will ever need to know. But he did it. He did it. And every time his pride took a blow, every time he was lied on, cheated on, beaten, spit on, every time, he was taken advantage of, every time the people that were supposed to be loyal to him betrayed him, every time it happened over and over again, his faith was growing. His faith to believe that God was going to make good on his promise. That's the kind of faith that we need. That every one of these things, because as you believe and as your belief swells within you, it becomes the evidence. It becomes the thing. Well, evidence for who, Zach? Who's watching? The whole world is watching. The whole world. And the evidence that's needed, it's not for you. You already believe. The evidence is needed for those who don't believe yet. The evidence, the substance, the tangibility, you're the one they're going to get a hold of. You're the heaven that comes to earth right in front of them. And you're suffering hardships for the same reason Jesus was suffering hardships, for somebody else. So get your mind off of yourself and off of what prayer hasn't been answered yet, and realize that your story right now is the very answer to somebody else's prayer. Somebody that needs it worse than you do, because you already believe it. Now your faith has to increase because of it. This is the irony, isn't it? We think that when we're in such great need, you know, we're thinking we got to get this right so that we have a testimony that God can use. No, 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 no. It's your storm right now. It's your storm right now. It's the garbage that you're in right now. That yes, the enemy does want to use, but stop giving all the glory to Satan. and start to understand that God wants some of this too. And if you'll give it all to him, he will take this thing and change the world with it. So let's do this. We got plenty of time. Take two steps forward. Unless you're on your knees, stay there. Take two steps forward. I'm going to ask Pastor John and our intercessory team, our altar team, to come down. And if you do not want prayer, then just say, I'm all set. Thank you. Okay? They're going to ask you if you want prayer. Just say, I'm all set. Thank you. If you would like prayer, I believe that the Lord is going to speak something to you this morning. I believe he'll use somebody you don't know. Maybe you've never met somebody. Maybe you do know and you don't even like them. You know what I'm saying? But that's how God is. So just brace yourself and receive whatever it is that the Lord has for you this morning.
This is Pastor Zach, and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you, and have the best day of your life.